Are you frustrated with the draw results from this year? Well, Gary Killingsworth of Gun Talk Media is in the same boat as you, and we're here to talk about it right now. Welcome into another Gun Talk Hunt. Today is an exciting day because I've got our good buddy and family member of Gun Talk, Gary Killingsworth, on the line. Gary, welcome in.
Hey, thanks, KJ. Glad to be here.
So I invited you on, one, because it's been a day since I've talked to you. Yeah. And I just got to give my daily love in from Gary. But I really, last time we talked and last time we spoke, you mentioned something about a draw system, and that's kind of where this conversation is going to lead us. And this episode, what you're going to hear is you're going to hear a lot about, you know, what the draw system is like in Oregon this year, because apparently it is a mess. And really going off a lot, honestly, about our draw systems and the draw systems that I'm familiar with, which is going to be your Wyoming, your Colorado, and your Oklahoma. And there's a big variance in between all of them, really, depending on where you go. And it can get dicey. I'm not going to lie. It can get confusing, and hopefully we'll be able to clear up a little bit of that confusion. So on that, give us a little bit of your background. So we know who we're talking to. But before we get into that, I do want to mention Gun Talk Hunt is brought to you by Pyramid Air, your number one resource in everything air gun, Remington Ammunition, and Hodgdon. Yeah, the gunpowder people. So thank you guys for supporting us. And so let's jump into it. Gary, give us a little bit of your background and where you come from and what you're doing.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, as far as, you know, when we get to talking about the draw, I don't know that I'll necessarily make it less confusing, but I'll share some of my confusion for sure. But I mean, where I come from, Oregon, born and raised. I've been part of the Gun Talk team now for really almost a year and a half now.
Yeah, it's it doesn't seem like that much, honestly. It really does seem like you've been part of the team forever, but
I know.
But yeah.
I know, but even before coming on board with Gun Talk, we did a lot of stuff together. So I've been in the industry, firearms industry, for well over a decade now. And you know, I've been shooting my whole life. Definitely have been into firearms since I can remember my first memories. Grew up outdoors a lot. Really did not get into hunting much because I spent most every fall with my dad salmon fishing. I mean, that's what we did, and that's what he still does.
There could be worse things to be doing, honestly.
Oh, for sure. So I'm fairly new as far as big game hunting goes. I love it. I've jumped in with both feet for sure. I mean, just learning as much as I can, you know, trying to get out as much as I can. That's always the toughest thing, especially with, you know, little kids in the house and busy schedules and whatnot. But I'm an Oregon hunter, you know, and I have, especially the last, I'd say 5, 6, 7 years, I have kind of bounced in between bow hunting and rifle hunting. And so, and obviously Oregon, which is what we're going to talk about, it made things a little bit trickier, I guess, if you're wanting to be a bow hunter and a rifle hunter.
Really?
As well.
So, so let's talk about your introduction first, because the key points I'm going to pick out, and I'm going to pick this up for a lot of people out there, and they're going, wait, why is Gary on Gun Talk Hunt? Is because, man, everybody starts out somewhere, and I almost enjoy more talking to the guys who are kind of like, I would say, about 10 years and under. I would say you're a relative, not novice. I'm not going to say novice because I know your skill, but you're in the beginning stages of hunter. You want to find that success. Yeah. You want to see a lot of animals. It's just different how you manage your expectations of your hunt.
It is. And it's, especially when you're used to shooting a lot, right? I mean, we handle guns on a daily basis in one way, shape, or form, whether it's dry fire, range time, or just organizing stuff in the safe, right?
Right.
I mean, we're handling guns all the time, and we're used to shooting. We're used to trigger time, which is, really only a tiny portion of the hunt itself. I mean, that should be ingrained as far as in my opinion, but it is definitely, it's about the opportunity to get out. It's about the opportunity to be in the right place and, the right location with the right conditions and be able to invest the time.
And that's a big thing. So there's a big difference. I could take Gary, someone who hunts primarily in the Northwest, and put him in Oklahoma, and he's going to do just fine. However, yeah. I would say it is way different to put like you take me, for example, mostly an open plains hunter, hunt the hardwoods every once in a while when I get a chance to hunt up in British Columbia or even this state of Louisiana. It's a lot different terrain out there. It's a lot different cover than you're used to, like managing herd movement or animal movement. So I think what you're doing is way more difficult than what I'm
doing. Well, and I don't have the experience to, to disagree with you, but I've heard that a lot. And I mean, in my experience, I mean, there are sometimes days that go by without seeing antlers.
Oh,
sometimes there's days that go by without seeing an animal.
See, that to me, man, I'd be scratching my head because, I mean, where do you start? If you don't see what you're needing, I guess you're just changing your location.
Yeah.
Would be my first.
I mean, you do what you would do, pretty much in any type of endeavor. I mean, fishing is a good example. You're not being successful, so you're going to change your tackle.
Yeah.
You're going to change your approach.
Well,
that's the way I look at it. I mean, you can always work harder.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. You can
cover more ground.
But if you look at it and everything is looking for out in the wilderness. And if you're starting out hunting, you've got to figure out there's different stages of their yearly cycle, like what they're doing that time of the year, feed, water, or breeding. I mean, you look at that and you're going to say, okay, let's start narrowing it down. What are they doing this time of the year? I could tell you within probably a 7 to 10 day window in Oklahoma, what those deer are going to be doing. I've hunted it enough to where I just know it. Now, Louisiana, it's a little bit more difficult. I'm having to adjust my timelines and stuff like that, but I've focused in on that food, water, and breeding. Stages of what are they feeding on? How much water do they need that time of year? What's the water situation like? And what phase of the breeding process are they in? Are they pre-rut, rut, or post-rut? So,
absolutely.
But I don't necessarily, I think all those principles are the same, but locations are different. Your mast crops are going to be way different than what ours are.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, and even, just thinking about, Oregon as a state, the topography of the entire thing. I mean, the way that it's laid out, I mean, you have, obviously, most people, when they think of Oregon, at least as far as the terrain goes, they think of rainforests and it's wet all the time. Yeah. And that's only the Willamette Valley, the I-5 corridor to the coast. I mean, that's only a smaller portion of the state. When you get to the Cascade Mountain Range, everything east of that is high desert. So that is mule deer country. As you get over to the coastal side, you're dealing with blacktails, which are tough. And then got kind of the mix between the two as you get into the mountains. And thinking about just as an early rifle hunt, if someone was was lucky enough to draw a tag, like a High Cascades hunt. I mean, you're in September.
Yeah.
You're in September, chasing blacktails around the mountains.
That's interesting.
That is really early, and it can be really difficult to determine what their motivation is other than right. just cover.
just hide. Just hide yeah. me, please, behind a tree. Yeah. Yeah, you take a
and
you
it take gets, a it gets dry and crunchy too.
Yeah.
Dry and crunchy, and yeah. you know, you're jumping something in order to see it. At least in you know, my beginner experience.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because you threw the word draw out. And that's yeah. kind of a foreign concept to a lot of people in states where, wait a second, yeah. you're a resident and you have to draw still. That's kind of foreign to me. I mean, and because like out of state, I mean, even in Oklahoma, it's an over the counter state. So if you want yep. to hunt deer in Oklahoma and you've got either private or public land, you yep. can do that. Yep. And for me, like to put in, like I'm putting in for specialty hunts out of state. Like I will go hunt whitetail in Iowa.
Yeah.
But I expect to have that as a draw system.
Right. Because as a non-resident, exactly. as a non-resident, you're going to draw.
Right. Yep. So it's a yep. very foreign concept for me. Like if you're an Oregon resident to have to draw to go
hunt. I know.
That's so odd to me. And it's so yep. unfair to the residents there.
Well, you know, it really is. And it's become more and more difficult just to navigate. I mean, you know, beginning of the year, the book for the year comes out, the Fish and Wildlife book,
right.
Where you will start doing your research and deciding what you're going to put in for. You know, there's a preference point system and, you know, all that stuff. But as I was kind of explaining the way that the state is laid out, so everything that is west of the Cascade Mountains is mostly general season.
Okay.
Right. And you have, not a lot of public land. And so you're dealing with a lot of private land and
oh, yeah.
Limited space to hunt. Anything east, which is the bulk of the state, is going to be, you're going to have to draw for that unit. Okay. And units are kind of broken up by, it looks like a map of counties.
Like a county map. Yeah.
Exactly. But, wow. but it's not necessarily, but you're putting in, I'll just use 100 series deer, right?
Okay.
So that's going to be a deer rifle tag, Eastern Oregon, which is central to Eastern Oregon.
Okay.
A deer rifle tag, you'll put in, let's say, I think it's up to 5 units, and you'll kind of list them in the order in which,
so you might get like, so you might not get your 1 or 2 preference. You would like maybe draw up yeah. for your 3rd preference, but you have
exactly.
a desire to hunt any of those 5 counties.
Exactly.
Units.
So, exactly. So you put in the unit you want to hunt the most, that's your first one. And then down to your 5th one, which should be a gimme, right?
Right.
That's going to be a unit with really, really good numbers, as far as, not necessarily success rate, but being able to draw a tag. But what has changed, and this is for rifle hunting, but what has changed, as of this year, has been previously for archery season, there's only very limited draw units. Most of the state is general season archery.
Okay.
But this year, that was switched to a draw system as well. So in Oregon, you have a lot of hunters just because of, you know, the land mass and the interest level and et cetera. You have a lot of hunters that are both bow hunters and rifle hunters.
Right.
And so they'll hunt archery season. If they're unsuccessful, they'll also hunt rifle season. Well, this year you had to pick one or the other. And so a large number of bow hunters that were also rifle hunters said, I'm not going to try to draw a bow tag.
Right.
That's harder.
We're going to go for the rifle.
we're going to go for the rifle tag, which blew up the numbers. And now the state is basically saying that we have a whole bunch of leftover archery tags for all these units. And like I'm talking to a lot of guys, and I'm hearing the same story. Man, we drew nothing this year. We drew nothing this year. We drew nothing this year. And same for me.
I drew
nothing.
You drew nothing. So I guess, so your next step is to, so are those over-the-counter leftover tags, or?
Yes.
So you'll hunt archery this season, I'm guessing.
Or, I mean, that's the choice I have to make, because I have to do one or the other. So I'm either going to pick up a leftover tag at a good unit for archery, or I'll be hunting west side general season rifle. Yeah.
That's
brutal. One or the other. One or the other. You pick your weapon, and so you basically ride with it.
Let's say blacktail. So yeah. How many tags are you allotted if you draw out? Is it just one, like either, like an either sex deal, or is it like you get one buck and one doe?
It depends. That's where it gets confusing. It totally depends on the unit, right? Oh. So there are specialty tags, which are very hard to come by, but there are specialty tags or auction tags or things like that, where you may be allowed more than, you know, more than one deer a year. But I mean, for the vast majority of Oregon hunters, if you're going to shoot one deer,
right?
You can draw for a 100 series, which is any visible antler, right? Again, depending on the unit. And then there's a 600 series, which is antlerless.
Okay.
So it's a doe tag. But it's unit dependent, man. It's really confusing.
That's unfortunate that they're making it that difficult, because what that does is you're lucky. Honestly, I mean, Gary, you're very lucky. And we are talking to Gary Killingsworth of the Gun Talk Media team here. All right, I'm going to jump in here real quick and let you know that Gun Talk Hunt is brought to you by Hodgdon Powder Company. They make pretty much all the powder in the world, I swear. Since 1947, a passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgdon Powder Company. They are the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless black powder and black powder substitute propellants. And if you're new to reloading, let me just tell you, their reloading data center is unbelievable. So before you start your next reload, I want you to go out and find out more at HodgdonReloading.com. And you know what? We're also brought to you by Timney Triggers. And for 75 years, hunters and shooters have all trusted Timney. I trust Timney. I love their triggers. Their R700 trigger for the Remington 700 platform is by far one of my favorites. But get ready this hunting season with the new trigger. Their Calvin Elite Custom Remington Model 700. That's the one I'm talking about. The Tika T3. Or even the Remington 799 Featherweight Deluxe, which is actually on sale right now. So, if you're in the market for a new trigger, which I think you should be, you should always be attempting to improve your game, improve that shot break, all you need to do is find your new trigger at timneytriggers.com. We're also brought to you by Remington Ammunition. Since 1939, hunters have relied on Remington's core-locked control expansion bullet. This is what I grew up hunting with. This is always in the range bag whenever my dad and I would head out to the range, and I cannot tell you how effective this is. It's got 2X expansion, weight retention is phenomenal, and it's consistent on game. So if you want the results of a core-locked bullet in your bag, definitely go check them out at Remington.com. We just got back from their plant on a plant tour, and they are cranking out the ammo. So definitely visit Remington.com. You're very lucky in that you've been through the draw process. But for somebody entering, that is completely intimidating.
Oh, man.
And it's unfortunate because they're discouraging. They're discouraging hunting.
Yeah. Well, so here's an example of that. So this year for rifle season, the plan was my dad and I were going to hunt together. And he, like I said earlier, he's a fisherman. He's hunted quite a bit as a younger man, but not in decades. So he said, you know what? I want to go hunt with you this year. Let's put in for it.
Yeah.
Do whatever you got to do. And I'm trying to explain to him, okay, we got to put in for this unit. And he's saying, what do you mean? We can't just go buy our license and go?
Because that's
what he was used to doing.
Yeah. That's how it should be. If you want to go hunt, that door is open. Instead, they're closing it to so many. There is actually, and everybody, I mean, I haven't drawn out in, I think, 15 years. I'm going on 15 years. Next year will be 16 for me. There is, and I recommend everybody put in for it because it's an unbelievable opportunity. You can hunt elk in the Wichita Mountains of Oklahoma. When I say mountains, I use that word very loosely. It's just like a regular hill to most people, but it's a phenomenal hunt. But it's taken me 15 years, and it's a once in a lifetime tag. So once you draw out, and what happened to a lot of people so I had a buddy who was successful on his 13th year or something like that. He was successful, went out, harvested a great bull. So he had to put two people down to go help him hike it out. And so when I was out there, what I noticed, I was like, oh my gosh, how are these guys hunting? It was a smattering of 60 plus year old men who have been putting in for like 30 years for this hunt or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, and they can't walk. They can't move away from the trails to like go hunt these things because of the draw system, I think, is just totally a flaw.
And they've had to put in for it forever.
Right. And I mean, good for them for going out there, but every once in a while, what'll happen is I talked to one guy out there and he was really young. He goes, oh my gosh, this is the first year I put in, for the draw. And I actually drew out and I, under my breath, was cursing him. But what he ended up doing was he marked a cow tag. And so, like, he blew his once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hunt bull elk on this, on a cow tag. And it's a confusing process. Because what he did was, so it gives you an option on, like, okay, select your first hunt that you want, your second, your third, fourth, fifth. Instead of, like, stopping, like, on, like, the fourth option and just saying nothing, he put in, you know, I want to hunt the Wichitas. I'll take a cow. Yeah. Well, turns out, you didn't draw out for that bull, but heck yeah, you drew out for the cow tag. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You can never put in for that. And so I'm like, that's so confusing because it suggests that you have to have five options.
Yeah.
You don't. Like, beware, people. Goodness.
Oh, yeah.
But they
exactly.
They make these game laws so confusing. Like, it's so frustrating.
You know? Totally. They do. And on one hand, thinking about all the different things that, you know, that go into it. Right. So, I mean, like here in Oregon, obviously we've had a rough year as far as fires go, which, you know, causes some animal movement. Absolutely. And there was a lot of stories I've heard from guys that were out east with visibility last year. And, especially with elk, just being completely nonverbal, and, you know, really, really tough conditions. But it makes you wonder at times if it's easy to use those types of factors into making things more difficult for hunters.
Right.
Right. So I don't know.
I think there's something to it. But, I don't think there's a conspiracy at all. I think that's just, you know, the more hoops you have to jump through, the less likely you are to pick up something new. However, however, there is a big, however, there's a big but attached to this. Yeah. This year, like, I am hearing more and more people headed to the backcountry, putting in for Western tags. And so now point creep starts to take into play. Like, you have to, you have to start thinking that, with an influx of people putting in, the less likely you are to draw. And so now,
absolutely.
Now when it took maybe 4 years to draw a desired unit. With the influx of people, now you're talking about, well, maybe it's 6 years now. Like, yep. And so that point creep is starting to creep up there, the more yep. hunters. And I'm all for more hunters. Like
absolutely. Seriously,
we need everyone out there, because more than likely, if you're a hunter, you are pro 2A and you understand your rights to get out in the field and use your firearms for lawful means of take. I mean, that's what we're getting to, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, this is one of those situations where more is better. Absolutely. Right. For sure. I think another factor that's coming in is you're seeing more and more like two-man parties, right? The days, especially out here, I mean, the days of like, you know, the, you know, 2 weeks of a crew and horses and et cetera, everyone coming in, and it's elk camp or whatever it is, it's harder and harder and harder to get your, you know, your big crews together.
Yeah.
For drawing, you know,
it is.
Yeah.
And here's something that, okay, so if you're putting in for a group, and a lot of states are like this, because I'm dealing with a situation in Iowa right now where I am 2 years in on, cause I want to go hunt the rut, archery season in Iowa. That's a dream hunt for me, a do it yourself hunt. But my buddy,
I'll meet you there.
Yeah. Oh, well, see, this is where I'm going with this. So I've got 2 points. Typically it takes, you know, 3 to 4 years to draw this tag. But so if I put in with a group, and Oregon, I bet's probably similar to this. So let's say me and a buddy put in for 2-3 years and we do not, or let's say we get in, we're in year two, 3 years to 4 years, we will likely draw. Well, Gary, let's say you say, I'd really want to go on that hunt with you guys. Okay, we'll put you into our group. So instead of going off of the guys that have 2 preference points, we have to go to the lowest guy on the totem pole who has 0.
Yeah.
That's where like a lot of guys aren't sure about that. And so make sure that you have all this lined out and you understand like how the draw system works, because that could really bite a bunch of guys in the tail.
It could. And that's a detriment to getting a system like that's a detriment to getting new hunters.
Right.
Exactly. Introduced into your group. Right.
And it's frustrating because I don't want to turn away anybody that is like, hey, I want to go hunting with you. Well, okay. But I keep the,
I want to go hunting with
you. But like, I want to go hunt. I'll go hunt with you, but can we go somewhere else? It's a roll of the dice at any time. I mean, you could be the guy who gets lucky on a draw. You really could be. And that's why you got to put in every year, or at least just buy a preference point. And that option's widely available. You know, if you can't hunt that year, let's say you're having a kid or you just get tied up at work, you know, go ahead and buy the preference point. It'll probably cost you about $50, you know?
Right.
It'll
pay off later though, because there will be that year where everything will come together.
Yeah. And that's when you got to make it work. You have to make that work. Okay. We have neared the end of this podcast, unfortunately. So
yeah, it went fast.
I know. It went so fast.
I have one quick thought on something you just said.
Uh-oh. Was it, we're nearing the end of this podcast?
No, trying to navigate from state to state, and et cetera. There's always a guy that knows everything. Like he knows the ratios, he knows draw percentages. Yep. He knows all those different things. You'll find him at the range or the archery club or something. Talk to that guy.
Yeah.
They help make heads or tails out of what's going on.
Well, and there are services out there that help you navigate this stuff.
Yep.
There really are.
Yep. I know
Go Hunt. They've got a good service, that helps with the, you know, draw cycles, and they help determine where trophy management units are and what's being taken out, and you know how many tags are allotted that season. So they're a good resource.
They do all the math.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's the worst thing. But yeah, and then it's all, you know, determining where you want to hunt. So if there's a unit that has a very high like draw percentage and a high success rate, I know there's probably a lot of animals there, but there's like going to be a ton of people drawn.
That's right.
If it's low, man, there might not be that many animals there, but if the, you know, if that percentage of success is high, I may look at that trophy as a trophy unit and a really good possibility to draw just based on those percentages, because if it's a low number, there might not be very many animals, but there could be quality animals.
For sure. And they, and it changes year to year on those, all those percentages. And
So, well, all right, Gary, I appreciate you chatting with us for a little bit about the draw process and kind of understanding like what's going on out in Oregon and across the country. But so here's what I'd like to do. So we kind of teased it right up front that we were going to talk about more of the gear side of things. We're going to pick this up next week. So we're going to, I'm going to reschedule another call with you, and we're going to have you on again next week for a dive into gear that you're taking on the road.
Yeah. I love it.
Perfect. All right. Well, I appreciate you.
Yep. Thank you, KJ.
All right,
glad to be here.
All right. We'll talk to you later, man. All right. Hey, thank you guys for watching this episode and tuning your ears into Gun Talk Hunt. As always, be safe out there. Keep those muzzles pointed in the right direction. And also, never dry fire your bow.